Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Brad Hayes, we've enjoyed our conversations with you the last couple of times. I want to talk to you now about politics, and I'm going to ask you real fast lightning round questions, and you can answer them as fast as you possibly can. The leading presidential candidates, as I see it right now, are Hillary Clinton on the Democratic Party. Now Jeb Bush has made a remarkable entry into everybody's talking about him. That would be the third President Bush. And then, of course, Chris Christie from the state of New Jersey across the bridge there, who's gotten somewhat damaged about the Great Bridge scandal. What do you make of this?
Well, in terms of the resurrection of Bush and the Bush name in politics, I think it's particularly interesting in the sense that it he's kind of on the seesaw or the teeter totter with Christie. I think as Christie has gone down, Bush's star has gone up. But Bush has a problem, and that is the primary. He has sounded very much like a moderate. He has said things like we shouldn't understand immigration as or people who violate our immigration policies as, you know, as criminals or as felons, that they're rather doing this for love of family. And those kinds of things do not resonate well with the wing of the party. And that's who he needs to, in fact, speak to in order to secure the nomination. So he's going to have to do some messaging changing if he's going to be a serious candidate.
Okay, let's go to our governor in New York State, Andrew Cuomo. He's in a race with a man who is a county exec, a popular county exec, a Republican from down in Westchester County, Rob Astorino. Obviously, a lot of people think, and I think Andrew Cuomo does too, that someday he's going to be a presidential candidate. What do you make of that?
I think it's interesting. I mean, obviously, the degree to which Hillary Clinton's name is bandied about and considered almost a lock.
Well, he knows, and he's right. Told me. If Hillary runs, he's not in.
Right. And I think that's in some ways reflected.
That's 8 years, of course, because if she runs and wins.
Right.
But if she runs and loses, then you'll have a Republican who might be there for 8 years.
Right. And so I think we could look for, in some ways, behavioral changes in Cuomo. I mean, one of the interesting things is he has a pretty low profile. In other words, he doesn't travel a lot out of state. Mm-hmm. He doesn't do a lot of kind of national television appearances and the like. I think if you begin to see him take a more kind of prominent role in the party, maybe even in the 2016 election cycle where he's going out and campaigning for others, or he has a prominent role in the Democratic National Campaign organization. If he does those kinds of things, it might suggest a run in the future. But for right now, I think he's on the sidelines.
He's going to need some verbal coaching, I think. I mean, I watch his brother Chris on television, and he seems to have conquered that Queens accent, but it doesn't appear that Andrew Cuomo wants to. You know, he says words like "be coarse" and things like that. What do you think?
Well, it's interesting in the ways in which things will appeal nationally in the ways that they
sure.
won't, and so there may in fact be some of that. But
the last
also,
guy with an accent like that was Al Smith,
right? No, right. I think though sometimes when you think about these things, people are looking for authenticity. I mean, so it's kind of worked for Chris Christie at least.
Well, he
doesn't
have a real New Jersey accent.
No, but he has the New Jersey bravado, right? Which I think that's the thing that people have kind of said.
They like that in all politicians.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, but it's about authentic self. And I think sometimes that can work despite the ways in which it might make you appear like to something or other, to New York.
Interesting. Okay, so I guess I need to ask you about Joe Biden. All the polls show that if there were a primary between Joe Biden and Hillary, Joe Biden would lose it.
Yes.
How come?
I think that Democrats like Biden.
I like him.
Right, yeah.
I'm not a Democrat. I'm an independent.
Right. But I also think that there's a bit of concern about whether, in fact, he can win a general. I mean, this factors into people's analyses. They prefer Hillary in terms of her viability. They like her experience. I think with Biden, you know, they always see him as a good activist for the left, right? And you can always see that. Like recently, in the last several weeks, he's been out kind of stumping, he's been hitting the big left issues: healthcare, minimum wage, immigration, etc.
Because this is it. If he doesn't do it this time, then he's done.
No, that's right. That's right. And I think that, I mean, I think he'll run. I'm not suggesting that.
Do you think he will run in a primary against Hillary?
I do. And I think that'll be quite important. I think he's going to run. I just don't think he's going to win. But I think actually it'll be very important for Hillary Clinton to have Biden in the race, in the sense it will sharpen her message. It will keep her disciplined. He's very good on his feet. He's very appealing. And so in that sense, you have somebody that can act as a foil for her that will make her a better candidate.
I want to go across the waters for a moment to Russia. What do you think is going on there?
That's a good question. Try to open up the mind of Putin. But I, you know, one of the things that's very interesting here, I think, is that the scenario in the Crimea has shown the limits of American foreign power and influence. That one of the things that's been notable is that because we aren't big trade partners with Russia, our ability to influence their policy is somewhat limited in terms of our threat of sanctions and the like. Certainly, military options are largely off the table because of their military strength. And, of course, I think the domestic resistance to become, tied up to yet another international conflict.
Yeah, but this is the congressional corner. And so I'm interested in what you think the tolerance for any kind of major confrontation with the Russian people is.
Very low. Sure. I think there's very little political will to have any type of conflict other than largely symbolic things. So you can expel them from the G8. And
do you think the whole Cold War thing is still hanging around a little bit?
Maybe there's a little bit of it. It might kind of echo or resonate a little bit, but I don't think there's the kind of kind of Cold War us them mentality, and nor the if they move, we must move too.
But we still have this incredible defense superstructure in this country. And as I've said many times, you give a surgeon a knife and he's going to want to cut. And if you have the weapons, maybe somebody, in order to make sure we keep making them, they're going to want maybe a little action.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that's interesting in the sense that you just don't seem to see much of that impulse right now. The Republican Party, for example, the one that's been a bit more hawkish of late,
sure,
you know, has this kind of strong libertarian sentiment now. And part of that is about staying at home. And to not engage militarily, to not engage in the spending that goes along with that, that you might want still to have kind of robust military support. We can look at, say, for example, Paul Ryan's recent proposed budget. It cuts all over the place, but the one area it doesn't cut in is in the military. It actually increases military spending. So while, you know, you might see some kind of support and even some spending support for the military, that kind of desire for military combat seems to have been significantly tempered by the right.
We have been talking with the fabulously bright Professor Bradley Hayes, Associate Professor of Political Science at Union College. Brad, we always love it when you come by and talk to us, and we always learn something. Thanks so much for being here.
It's always great fun, Alan.